Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Neil's Yard Dairy, selecting, maturing, and selling farmhouse cheese from the UK and Ireland. For more information, visit neilsyarddairy.co.uk.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network, broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome to Cutting the Curd, broadcasting live on the Heritage Radio Network. This is Greg Blaze. I'm back from an amazing trip to the 20th anniversary of Slow Foods Cheese Festival in Bra, and I am sort of disappointed because I'd rather be there than here. This is the third installment of a group of episodes that we put together based on interviews I did while I was at the festival. For those of you who haven't heard about Bra before, basically it's what heaven must look like to any cheese lover. The entire city of Bra, a picturesque town in Piemonte, very close to Alba of truffle fame and Barolo of wine fame, turns into a maze of cheese vendors from countries around the world. For this third installment of interviews, I got a good group of newcomers, my friends Sam Frank, Sarah Aducci, and Lucy Hoffman, and they had a really interesting perspective on their first trip to the festival. So enjoy, and stay tuned for more. Hello, and welcome to more remote interviews for Cutting the Curd here in Bra, Italy. Today I'm with a good friend of mine and a Bra newcomer. Sam Frank.
Hello.
How are you, Sam?
I am great. Great to be here.
It is, right?
Yeah.
A beautiful day to sell cheese. Not too hot. You know, no rain. The people are out in mass to get stuff.
They are.
Stuff.
They definitely are.
Yeah, man. So I was wondering, I'm sure you've heard of this many, many, many times, and I interviewed some veterans, but I want to get the perspective of a person who it's their first time participating in the events and also just being here. Is it everything you expected? Is it better or worse?
I would definitely say it's better. I mean, it was really hard to imagine what I was coming into, and it's pretty mind-blowing. I mean, if you have any interest in cheese, then I'd say you have to go to Bra, cheese and Bra, at least once before you die.
Yeah.
I mean, especially coming from America, where there's so many cheeses here that we will never see. You know, they're either such small production, or they'll never meet the compliance standards, or both. So to be able to have the opportunity to just walk around and taste, like, you know, cheeses aged in skins from Turkey, or like Romanian cheeses that they pack into little trunks, like, that are like sewed up bark that looks like a little stump of wood, like this kind of stuff, just like, I'll never see that back in the States. So it's been awesome.
It's a little, for me, when I come, it's like I get a little heartbroken when I, because I'm, yeah. I want everything.
Exactly, yeah.
And it really just makes me think that we need to really change the rules.
Yeah.
I think it's also very brave and very amazing that in the face of fear and bad legislation everything, you know, that we deal with right now in terms of raw milk, that the festival organizers decided to only go with raw milk.
Yeah.
I think that's great, right?
I mean, I think it's awesome. I mean, of course, you know, I don't want to bash pasteurized milk cheese producers.
No.
But, you know, I think just to see the insane variety of cheeses that are here that are all made only from raw milk, like, I think it is really important to bring that to the forefront, to make that, you know, a very relevant conversation. Because, you know, it's a lot more work, it's a lot more energy to produce a pasteurized milk cheese, and especially one that expresses the true flavor of your milk. And so to really put raw milk on a pedestal and show people, like, this is what real cheese is. This is what it used to be. And this is, there's no reason why it shouldn't be this way. So I think it's really great. And it's, I mean, again, coming from the States, it's awesome to be here to taste all these raw milk cheeses that I would never see.
Yeah. Once you come here, for me, in terms of events, like you said, once I came here, I know I always have to come back here.
Yes.
I didn't make the last one, and 4 years was a long time to go without being here.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be really hard not to come again after knowing what it is.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you say. I'm not anti-pasteurization. I'm just pro raw milk.
Yeah, exactly. I feel exactly the same way.
And when you take a look at some of the things that are here, the crazy things, as you say, crazy that are here, and people want that.
Yeah.
They want that experience.
Yeah.
As say the cheese, the expression of the milk is to me a little bit more. And more true with raw milk, but I sometimes some people say that that's a myth that you can get the same flavor out of pasteurized cheese. I don't know if I believe that.
I mean, you know, and it perhaps it's a subtle, you know, maybe it's not something that's like incredibly noticeable, but there's no way that you can say that a cheese that has been demolished of all of its native microflora and replaced with a select few is going to taste the same as a cheese that has thousands, if not millions, of different species of bacteria that are native to that milk because of where that milk is made.
Certainly. Certainly true. The access that you get while you're here, that was what the first time that I came here was something that I took away with me and I'll never let go of. The things, the people that you meet here, the little relationships that you make when you're in the trenches with someone working, or when you have one of those dinners or presentations, you're plied with a little wine and you're in these sort of magical settings, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I guess the highlight was going to a talk on Turkish, Indian, and Georgian cheeses.
Right.
And the last two speakers were a Georgian cheese expert and a Georgian natural winemaker, and the energy that they brought with them, and just the pride that they had in being here and showing to the world like what Georgia has and what their amazing cheeses and their wines. Like, that's what this is all about. It's so inspiring.
It is. That was a question I was going to ask you, and I'm glad that you brought it up. One of the things when I first came that I was not surprised by, but what that was most enlightening to me was to meet a non-European or Northern European, non-U.S. or Western Europe cheesemakers.
Yeah,
I met a man I think from Cameroon the first time I was here.
Really,
and then that's what's amazing to me, because you really get this interesting perspective that this thing has been in the culture. All cultures for thousands of years.
Yes.
And even with the most modest of equipment and means, you still can make this wonderfully expressive product that's also important.
Yeah.
I think that we get away from sometimes, and I'm not saying this to bash anyone either. I just think that the you see some of the real reasons for cheese when you speak to people like that, because they need it.
Yes.
Who
still live a pastoral existence that doesn't exist anymore in the United States.
It's true.
That never really existed the way that it does here and the way that it has here for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really true.
And the amount of humility that they all bring is also, you know, very humbling.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And lastly, what also I love, I was sampling out and then pitching in somewhere, selling a little bit of cheese. I love to see very young people eating the cheese, you know, almost toddlers, little kids. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
I mean, it's awesome. You know, when I was a child, my cheese knowledge began and ended with, you know, craft singles.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it for me. Well, so to see kids, like, putting, like, the gnarliest looking brown old ass cheese in their mouths and then, like, smiling is pretty awesome.
That's the best, man. That's
yeah.
the best.
Yeah.
Those are our future mongers.
That's right.
Future makers.
That's right.
Future customers.
That's right.
Thanks so much for your time,
Thank
Sam.
You, Greg. It's always an honor to speak with you.
Super nice to talk to you, Sam, and get back in there, man.
All right.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Today's program is brought to you by Neil's Yard Dairy. Neil's Yard Dairy selects, matures, and sells farmhouse cheese from the UK and Ireland. They work with about 40 cheesemakers, they visit them regularly to taste their cheese, and select the batches they want to mature and sell. Amongst the cheeses they select, there is a great deal of variability. Cheese can change hugely depending on how it's treated. They have a range of temperature and humidity-controlled maturation facilities at their warehouse in London, run by a team who are dedicated to ensuring that they sell their cheese at its best. As the cheese is maturing, they continue to taste through the stock to ensure they're aware of how it is developing over time. When the cheese is ready, their attention turns to directing the right cheese into the hands of the right customer. They have 3 cheese shops in London, an online shop, and they're a regular site at markets around the country, and have a UK and international wholesale trade. For more information, visit neilsyarddairy.co.uk.
Hello, more, bra interviews. Little ones, I'm here with my friend Sarah Patrici.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for asking. I'm holding up.
Yeah, it's a worker.
Yes.
Worker booth, the GFI booth.
Yes, indeed. Hawking
slinging
for Jasper
American
Hill.
Cheese. Yeah.
Yep.
And there was less Americans here this year. This is a tight group.
Indeed.
I was lucky enough to be able to be back there and sling a little bit of cheese too.
Yes.
So I was really, really happy to do that. Anyway, I just was collecting some interviews
yes.
from newbies and not-so-newbies, and you are a not-so-newbie.
True. I was here 6 years ago, and I missed the last one, which was crushing, and I decided at that point that I was not going to miss another one. So here I am, come hell or high water, I made it here,
yeah.
and I always love to work the booth. I worked the GFI booth the first time I came, and it was so much fun to be behind the scenes. Hawking cheeses, I speak Italian, so that's awesome. Gives me an opportunity to learn all of the cheese words that I never learned when
yeah.
I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And just a great thing to share American cheeses with mostly Italians, but a lot of Europeans.
Sure.
Too.
The reception is fantastic. I feel, and maybe you can confirm or deny this, the fact that they changed the focus this year, the raw
yes.
milk cheese is the king here.
Yes.
And that's what you need to be allowed in that little area, right?
Yes.
Into Affiner's Alley. And I think that the cheeses that were here,
mm-hmm.
the American cheeses that were here, maybe stood out even a little bit more to the Italians and Europeans that you were tasting them to.
Absolutely. I would say that's true. I mean, I think the reception was fantastic. I mean, the group of cheese makers that were here, you know, Jasper Hills, Marie Cuda, Andy Hatch from Uplands Cheese, the beautiful, wonderful people from my home state of Virginia were
yeah.
here, the
yeah,
Meadow
yeah.
Creek Dairy folks,
yeah.
and their cheeses are awesome.
Yeah.
And, of course, Rogue as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little bit surprising sometimes for Italians and that are tasting to suddenly realize, like, where are these cheeses from? What? Wait? Oh, gosh, they're really good.
Yes.
So we've come a long way, I think, in American cheese, and it's an awesome thing to see people's faces when they taste and say, like, oh, I would have never imagined that you guys actually have good cheese, too.
Certainly.
And I think it's also stellar that they were all raw this year. I think that's a really great focus.
I agree. As a veteran of many festivals,
mm-hmm.
There was a consensus or an opinion that the festival was quite large, it just was quite large, and a different kind of atmosphere was maybe being created, and I can say that as a person who's come here many times.
Right.
But I feel like everybody has a right to come here, obviously.
Truth.
So it's not an exclusionary thing. It's very inclusionary. And I think that taking a firm stand and saying that only people who create raw milk cheese can come.
Right.
I think is brave of Slow Food.
True.
And very litigious and fearful climate.
True.
And I also... what I noticed about the American producers that were here is that they're classic producers. They're the producers that are Pleasant Ridge Reserve is like a legacy producer.
You know, yeah.
These are the cheeses that I've purchased in my career for the longest.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And there's a lot of new cheese in America, and a lot. And sometimes it's crowded. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to decide because you want to support everyone.
Truth.
The costs are high. The cheese
Truth.
Is good. But the ones who have done it longest still do it best.
True.
And it's the simple practice of grass-fed animals,
mm-hmm.
summer milk cheese,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Rotating the animals on the different pastures.
Truth.
That's what Andy does, and that's what Mike did before him. And
Meadow Creek, too?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I mean. And those cheeses have been in my world for a long time. So
yeah.
It's nice to see that those guys who sometimes may feel, and I would know, this is my opinion,
right.
obviously, and that's most shit that I say here is, they... must be happy in a certain way to know that that they still stand out and
yeah.
are the leaders.
Oh, they totally are. I mean, they're the beacons for all the other cheesemakers saying,
certainly.
This is how it's done. And
yeah.
I think there's a more open communication of helping other people do that too. So.
Yeah. I think that there's a good 250,000 people rotated through here, something like that.
It was insane. It's very nice to be behind a counter.
Sure, a little protection. But I think it's also really impressive that in a festival where everything for the most part was of a raw milk nature, in
yeah.
That not only were people flocked to it, they don't care. They just don't give a shit. It's so great.
Yeah.
And that's, I
yeah.
think, the attitude that people should adopt in our country. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do what you do well. Just
right.
keep doing it in
yeah.
the face of whatever
right.
that you have to work through to get there.
Right.
Bra always shows that to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
True.
So, I think it's interesting. Did you speak with some people who, Americans, this was their first time?
I'm trying to think of some, I think there were a lot of cheesemongers from the U.S. that I
right.
talked to. It was their first time.
Right.
And it's just overwhelming. It's an overwhelming cheese nerd experience.
Sure.
It's like cheese mecca, basically,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Sure.
Because you're just surrounded by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who are as passionate about the same thing that you are. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. Plus, you get to eat a ton of cool cheese that you never get to see in the U.S.,
yeah.
particularly now because they're all raw milk here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to be able to taste...
A little heartbreaking.
Oh, I know. It
can
is
only
a
smuggle
crushing.
So much back in your luggage.
I know. I'm trying to decide what my cheeses are going to be for, you know...
Exactly. They're going to have the beagles out in JFK
yeah.
Airport.
Oh, I bet they're going to be pretty strong coming out of this one. Hopefully, we'll all make it through with our contraband.
Yes. It's good that we recorded that. So
I know,
that we
yeah,
know.
So that they know who we are and
sure.
when we're coming back.
Yeah. Well.
By the time this airs, we'll be already through, though, right?
Yeah, or I'll be in jail for something
yes,
else.
Exactly.
But really, really,
yeah.
it's a pleasure to have seen you here, and, you know, your words, they ring true. It's great. It's
yeah.
a great thing, and I wanted to do a bunch of interviews here. To make people jealous and make people understand that they should come here.
Yes,
dedicate
absolutely.
A little time.
Absolutely,
and
well worth it.
Yeah, and come here when the festival isn't going on. Bra is it's a fantastic town. It's the birthplace of slow food, and they really do it well here.
Absolutely.
So. All righty, thank
yes.
you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's so nice to meet you in real life.
Yeah, that's right. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Hello, this is Greg Blaze again, recording again from Bra remotely. I'm at Fiorenzo Giolito. I'm at Giolito's tea shop outside of Bra. Some of my colleagues from Italy just came in. This is one of my best times in Bra. Every time I come here, it's the last and best thing that I do. And it's a nice aperitivo and a chance to really mingle with some of the local people of Bra. And as Giolito's generational and his shop has been here, taste some great cheese and also meet some new people. And although I know my little guest here, my friend Lucy Hoffman. How are you, Lucy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. This is her first time coming to the Cheese Festival in Bra. And I interviewed some veterans, and I'm also interviewing some people who are coming for the first time. Thank you, my friend. He was great. The guy who just said that fed me goat's milk gelato, and it was really,
really good. Really delicate. Really good, yeah. It was really good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Giolito's little gathering always has some cool people, and really just a really nice, familial, and friendly atmosphere, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And it's a nice reprieve from the hustle bustle of the show, which is amazing and surprising to me as an American to see so many Italians showing up for artisan cheese like this.
Why does that surprise you?
You just don't see it in the States.
What do you mean? So, like county fairs and stuff like that?
Let's rewind a little bit, right? So
sure.
I work for a company called Cypress Grove,
uh-huh.
which straddles two worlds. It straddles the artisan cheese world. We make artisan cheese. We make goat cheese, which is unusual in the United States. It's new to the United States. We also operate with a lot of the largest retailers in the country. We work with Whole Foods. We work with Costco. We work with H-E-B. We work with Safeway, mm-hmm. Albertsons. We work with Kroger, Murray. So we're reaching a lot of consumers. And the part of the country that I cover for Cypress Grove, I'm the regional sales manager for the entire middle of the country. And so I'm out there on the front lines, as it were, for a company that's based in Humboldt, California, you know, Arcata, California, which is really remote and really in a part of the country that's ahead of Texas, ahead of Nebraska in terms of, you know, goat cheese awareness and maybe other animals.
Some pioneers came from there. Mary was part of this really early cadre of lady goat cheese makers.
Right.
And
the coasts in general, they're a little bit more...
What's different culture?
It's a different culture, and they're more accepting of artisan cheese in a way.
Well, the cheese is different in California than it is in Wisconsin. There's a lot of artisan cheese that's been made in Wisconsin for a long time, but it's just different stuff. But
it's a lot of cow's milk.
But so you come here to
Bra. You come here to Bra,
and what do you see? What do you see that startles you? You said the people that come, the Italians that come because you didn't expect that from Americans.
The volume of people that show up
for
artisan cheese, or just for like. In Italy, every region, every place has its cheese. There's mm-hmm. Bra cheese. In mm-hmm. Tuscany, they have pecorino. In Calabria, they have mozzarella. In Puglia, they have burrata.
Yeah.
So in the United States, you don't have that. You have Wisconsin, which very much has its cheese culture. And then there's the rest of the country, which doesn't really have the same cheese culture. Maybe California is starting to build one, right? And you have more acceptance of that on the coasts. But what I was mentioning
how long have you been working with cheese?
For 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. And you already got to come to Bra? Wow, that's impressive.
I brought myself here.
Didn't send you here?
No. So I came,
I used to
live in Italy.
Sure, sure.
So 3 years ago, I worked on a pig farm in Tuscany.
So you know the culture here for food.
Yeah, I speak Italian a little bit.
Certainly.
And so this is the first time I've been back. So I left three years ago, August 31st.
Yeah.
I came back here August 31st, 2017. Left 2014, came back 2017.
Here you
three
are.
Years later.
Happy to be back?
Yeah.
In Bra?
Yeah, so I came back to Tuscany and I did a little tour there, and then I thought, you know, I really like to come to Bra, and Cypress Grove was very supportive. So they said, you know, you don't need to take vacation time when you're in Bra.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But you were not going to pay for you to go.
But you made it.
But I made
you
it
made
here.
You made it here.
Exactly.
And my thing, and what I've been asking people, because it's your first time here, but you are immersed in the culture, and a lot of people that you deal with and that you know are also here in Bra on a certain level, I'm sure.
Sure.
And I was wondering if you had an expectation, and if you did, was it met?
Interesting. I mean, so I want to say my expectation, I didn't expect, and I'm going to repeat myself here, I didn't expect there to be so many people.
So the showing, crowd the shocked crowd, you a little bit.
The crowd of like non-cheese people, right? Because I go to the fancy food show, I go to these other cheese events, and you see all the same folks, right?
Well,
and
which
they're all my friends, and I love it. It's great.
I understand what you mean.
But here you have so many more people showing up just to taste cheese and to be part of the crowd and
pretty
to experience
awesome,
this event that's all about cheese.
Great, right?
And I'm in the middle of the U.S. where people don't care about cheese. The cheese is a vehicle to get to something else, to get to pasta,
I
pizza.
I don't know if I agree with that totally.
Not in Chicago, not at Italy, but like... It's a burgeoning, it's a young thing. Of course, there are people who care about it, but the majority of Americans don't know about artisan cheese still. There's still so much education to be done.
And it's interesting because you work in places that you see that maybe more than others.
Absolutely.
But here... In Bra.
Everyone knows about cheese. Everyone has their local cheese.
Yeah.
And then knows the history and appreciates it. Yeah. And it's not like basic cheese. It's special and specific, and there's a reason behind it, right?
That's great.
And it's site specific too.
So the first time I came here was some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I came here, and I'm not being heavy-handed or trying to be corny or anything.
Yeah.
But when I came here, I really realized that I was part of something that mattered, and it matters where I'm from and where everyone's from, because this is also an international event outside of Europe and outside of the United States and the Americas. I met cheesemakers from Africa here.
Yep.
I met an Israeli cheesemaker here in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And what it showed me was that this thing, cheese... And I think it's great that it's called cheese, is important. And it's important in a lot of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters how people make it. And you can take a look at people in different countries, different levels of industrialization, and realize the simplicity of rennet, salt, milk in the middle of the desert.
Right.
And how it's just as good and applicable and important. And you can learn from those people. And that kind of blew my mind.
Right.
When I came here.
Yeah.
And the fact that this year they dedicated it to raw milk, and only raw milk producers could come to a certain portion,
right.
I think was really ballsy. Because, you know, in America, we're kind of afraid of the government. We're afraid of raw milk cheese, and fear-mongering is out there for food in general.
Absolutely.
And what's awesome about slow food, and this part of Italy, and this is where slow food was founded, is that the Italian guys here, they were like, no, let's go the other way. Let's all raw milk.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It is great. I agree.
Or if you don't think it is, that's cool. But I think you do.
I'm pro raw milk, and I'm pro maintaining these traditions. But I'm also not in the camp that believes
that... Well, being pro raw milk doesn't mean you have to be against pasteurized milk.
Right. That's true. Of course. Oh, yeah. I'm absolutely pro raw milk. But... I went and tried a bunch of natural cheeses, right, that have no cultures added to them. And some were good, some were terrible. Some were not good, right?
Sure,
and
absolutely.
So I also want to dispel this idea that just because it's raw or just because you don't add anything to it, doesn't necessarily make it excellent.
Certainly, but I would opine that when you come here and you taste phenomenal raw milk cheese and you get to see tradition and people who have honed their craft and are good at it and supported by the bodies around them, how wonderful it can be. And when I taste things that, you know, that aren't there yet, it makes me hope that by pushing for things like this, being involved in things like this, that there'll be more support for those people to get to a spot where their stuff is good. Because I believe that the way it started
was pre-pasteurization.
Yeah.
So what was wrong with that in general? But pasteurization mm-hmm. is a response to a particular set of circumstances.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yes.
And like most science in a bottle, it was abused eventually, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But mm-hmm. I just wanted to say, you know, that's really, like, it's fantastic. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really wanted to get a mix of people who were here for both, you know, for a little bit longer and for, you know, for their first time. And it sounds like it's had a good effect on you.
Yeah, it's definitely been really eye-opening and just always new experience. I mean, you asked what did I expect and how did it compare? It's like,
yeah.
I had no idea what to expect.
Right.
And all it was doors on doors on doors opening.
Yeah.
And people and things coalescing and people meeting each other, like you
Fantastic.
Meeting my friend who's a chef, right?
Yeah.
And having really great conversations, not just about cheese, because cheese can be the vehicle to connect different people who are into the same stuff.
Perfect.
And that's why it's such a fun community to be a part of, is because if you're into cheese and you're here and you're showing up for this type of event, it means that you care about the future of artisan food in
yeah.
whatever country you're from. And not just in artisan food, but animal husbandry and food systems.
Yeah, all of the things
and,
that go
and
along
the
with that.
And labor. And what does it mean to be a business?
Sure.
You know, because these are all, for the most part, smaller businesses that
yeah.
are operating. And how do we be responsible small business owners
sure.
in this environment? So, yeah, it's a really wonderful environment. And I'm thrilled to be here. And I'm thrilled to chat with you, Greg.
Very cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I think I can speak for you to say that you'll be back.
Yes. 2 years from now, I will be here. There's no doubt about it.
Cool. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hope you enjoyed that. Stay tuned for more Cutting the Curd coming up soon. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.